You can name this one Galatians number 7. Let the studies begin. Here's Brother Moore.
Would you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1? We're probably going to read every Sunday from verse 1 until we finish the chapter. We might not, but the reason I'm doing this, I'm not doing it just to spend your time. I'm doing it to establish. In other words, if we do this over and over and over, when we get through the chapter, we will be able to remember the things that are in the chapter. In Galatians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we're going to read in just a second in verse 6 down through about verse 8 or 9. Now, what I want you to think about this morning, I want us to somehow try to connect verse 4 with the gospel of verse 6, 7, and 8. I want us to consider the fact that Paul, being the apostle to the Gentiles, was given the gospel, and this gospel has to do with the fact that Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And so it seems obvious to me that another gospel is going to destroy the truth that is involved in this whole thing. Verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Please observe the word from him is very evident. It's amazing. In other words, to believe another gospel is to be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Well, you are bought with a price. In other words, the ones who are bought with that price are the ones that are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ones that are bought with that price, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 6, are we that believe the gospel that is committed to the Apostle Paul. So, to deny that gospel in any way, shape, form, or fashion is to be removed from him that is our owner. The word Lord Jesus Christ, the three words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord is from a word that means owner. When the Lord sent the apostles to get the mule, the donkey, that he's to ride into Jerusalem, he said, if they say aught to you, so and so, and then he said, say to the owner thereof, that's the Lord. In other words, the Lord of that mule, the Lord of that donkey, the owner. The word Lord is owner. Therefore, if you believe the gospel of Christ, then you belong to the Lord. You're his. You're his property. He purchased you with his blood at Calvary. And to deny that gospel then is to say, hey, I'm not connected with him. He doesn't own me. I worship him when I feel like it. I serve him if I want to, and if I don't want to, hey, I don't have to. I'm doing him a favor by assembling at his church or going to his Bible study. I'm doing him a favor if I ever hand out a tract or if I ever witness to somebody. If I don't want to do that, then I don't do that. That's the idea. That's exactly what the religious system brings when it produces, when it puts out so-called Christians that believe in their salvation by their works. As long as they want to be in one with the Lord, then they work. But when they get so they don't care, they quit working. But not so with us. We're bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that based upon the gospel that we believe. We believe that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again for our justification. We're his, and we are His responsibility. Since that is true, we don't need to worry about where we're going if death comes. Since we're His responsibility, we can take the same position that Israel should have taken when they arrived at the Red Sea. They'd been redeemed. They get to the Red Sea and they're crying and they're saying, what are we going to do now? There's the armies of Israel coming of Egypt coming back here. Here's the Red Sea in front of us. You brought us out here to die. Now what? Instead of saying, well, we belong to the Lord. The Lord will handle this. We don't have anything to worry about. He can take care of it. Which He could and did. And as we look back in our lives, the things that we fretted and cried and carried on about, the Lord always handled them. We just went into a dither about something that there wasn't any need to. God's going to take care of it. We belong to Him. But, like in this case right here, why would the devil send people unto these Galatians to teach them something different than Paul taught them? So they would be removed from the Lord. So that He Himself, as the God of this world, would get control over them, and their testimony and their value upon earth would be destroyed. Now back in the passage, verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The same idea is presented in Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy. And look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, I was thinking last night out at the racetrack, the people out there, some of them that were with the Ark or crowd and whatever, probably think of E.C. Moore as just a mean old individual filled with hatred and whatever. When what I was doing, I gave them two verses of Scripture. I told them, I said, I want to present to you these two verses of Scripture. Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Then I said, 1 Timothy chapter 2. God would have all men to be saved. Put them together. God's will is your salvation. His Son gave Himself for your sins. Therefore, you can be saved. There isn't one thing but you to stop you from being saved. And I preach this to those people out there. Well, when these other fellows talk to them, it's a mushy-washy, honey-bunny, sweetheart. We love one another. Everybody's the same the world over. We don't want to cause any waves. We don't want to rock the boat. That type of thing. Well, that won't get the job done, folks. There are going to be people who get mad at you if you tell them the truth. If they don't get mad at you, if they don't get angry at you, most likely you're smoothing the deal over some way. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Hold on and go back to Galatians chapter 1 and notice the contrast. Verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It is like that. If it would have been way down the road somewhere, it might be a little bit different. But here I have come here and preached unto you, and immediately thereafter, you're removed from that which I taught you. Even though when I came the first time, some of you would have plucked out your very eyes and have given unto me, if it would have come down to that. Your love for me was very evident. Now, I don't find that love here. I find something totally different with you, he goes on, and he says in other passages of the Scripture. I marvel that you're so soon removed. Apostate. You're fallen. You're so soon removed from Him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we're an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. Now, let's try some things. Turn to 1 Corinthians. I look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll start in verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. In other words, at the judgment seat of Christ, I'll have to give an account for this message that has been committed unto me, and I have not done it. Verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, that is, preach the gospel, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, Paul then was given the dispensation of the gospel. So if I put the crucifixion back here, the Lord appears to Paul here, and Paul gets saved. All right? From there until the Lord appears again. And there are two appearings there. The Lord appeared in glory to the Apostle Paul, gave him the gospel. The Lord appears again, and the church that is saved by the gospel goes out. So between those two points is a dispensation. It's the dispensation of the gospel. If we come on down to a point over here somewhere, maybe it's the end of the book of Acts, AD 70, I don't know, then there is the dispensation of the grace of God in there. People back here were saved by the gospel, therefore their salvation is by grace through faith. But it's not in the dispensation of the grace of God. The dispensation of the grace of God is given Paul for you Gentiles. But the gospel of Christ is committed to Paul back here. During this period of time, there are Jews, Jewish proselytes, Gentiles that feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he goes unto them. He's not going unto Gentiles such as we in this room, but we could have gone to him had we been there. We could have gone to where Paul was, and we'd have had the message given unto us while we were there, and on and on and on. But nevertheless, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to the Apostle Paul. Now, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, on and on and on. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. And the implication is that many of the Galatians, that this fits them. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. In other words, I didn't deliver unto you the gospel of the kingdom. I didn't deliver unto you the everlasting God. I delivered unto you that which I also received. First of all, that which I also received. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Then Paul is the beginning of a group. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice in verse 12, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, which hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was, and the reason he's showing you why he's saying this, who was before a blasphemer. In other words, imagine God putting a man who had been a blasphemer into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, by teaching other things, denies the verse. He did so last Sunday. I've got it on tape. Last Sunday morning, Dr. Ruckman said that the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, committed to the Apostle Paul, began in Acts chapter 8. Emphasized it, argued about it, nailed it down. He's making a reference to the Ethiopian eunuch. Not so. Not according to the passage. That's not true. And so he'd say, oh, but wait a minute. Paul was already saved. He didn't say that, but the implication is. In other words, the point is, it's not important who has it. What is important is that God knows what it is. That's the way Dr. Ruckman deals with these things. That's the way he cons those people over there. He says that the church, which is the body of Christ, began in Matthew chapter 27 because God knew it. Nobody else didn't know it. But since God knew it, it began there. Then he says in Acts chapter 2, the one baptism took place. The one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4, that the church, which is the body of Christ, were baptized. Acts chapter 2. And the body of Christ is there, and he makes fun of they who talks about the mystery, then he just goes on and on and on about that. Well, that's up to him. But the point is that God saved us by Christ's death at Calvary, by His grace, and whatever saved those people back there, the 3,000, the 5,000, were all saved by the same gospel that Paul was saved by. They just didn't know it. Is the gospel not words? Isn't the gospel words? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Believe what? The words that were preached. Well, what words were preached in Acts 2? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. Somebody said, but you're all fouled up, Brother Moore. Maybe so, but that's what the Scripture says. It didn't say, Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. God was in Christ, reconciling the world. No way did Peter even imagine such a thing, much less say it. There is no way that the body of Christ could be in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 if getting into the body of Christ is based upon the gospel that Paul preached. And if it isn't based upon the gospel that Paul preached, then what difference does it make out here in the so-called tribulation? It's come down to that now. What difference does it make? What difference does it make right now? What you believe? What are we doing in this room here? Why do we meet here? So why do we go to the biggest assembly in Pensacola with its glamour and its glory and its songs and all the stuff in there? Why are we fooling around here? Why not just go to a Carmelite church? Get on with it. Get dumped. I mean, just do the whole ritual. Well, you know the answer to all that. I don't even have to talk about that. So then why would Dr. Ruckman just stay after this? Why did he go on and do this all the time? Because he wants to preserve the water baptism. I do not understand grace believers who are always making excuses for such people as that. I don't understand that. Is there no love? Is there no devotion to the fact that Jesus Christ did in fact give Himself and die for your sins? If Jesus Christ gave Himself and died for your sins and redeemed you with His blood, then what right do you have to tell people today that, well, we all believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that's what is important, because What God did is none of our business. It won't work, folks. The message that Jesus Christ died for Dub Hampton, Ralph Carson, me, you, all the rest, the message was given to Paul, Acts 9. That's the message, folks. Say, but Jesus Christ died for his sins back here, but nobody knew it until that time. Say, but nevertheless, it was that. Well, then, if it's a situation like that, it doesn't matter whether you know it or not. Then everybody that believes anything today pertaining to God and his Son, Jesus Christ, are in the church, which is the body. And that's what some are preaching today. This is almost like the New Age stuff. It's neo-whatever. More than that. It's deplorable. Now, if you'd like, I'll back off a minute and give you an opportunity. You got anything you'd like to say to correct what I just said or add to?
Huh? Yeah, I was talking to my cousin who claims to be an elder in the Presbyterian Church. And I asked her, I said, are you looking for the rapture? Or are you looking for the return of the Lord to set up a kingdom on this earth? She says, I don't think it's important for us to get into a discussion about this. She says, if we need other men, then I'll say, in other words, shut up.
Is she an elder or an elderess? I'm just kidding. I wondered about that. You know about this. Well, you know, but what's so fascinating like with Dr. Ruckman? Dr. Ruckman gets over here, and he just nails this down. He just harps. This morning, he was just carrying on about the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, he's calling people fools and idiots and numbskulls and all that kind of stuff and all the religious system in America today and the educated dummies and all. I mean, he's going on and on and anybody's got any sense at all and they see this and blah, 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 on and on. So he divides that thing right there. Bingo! Cut off right there. That's it. Over here, though, it just kind of starts out and it just works its way in here. God knows the gospel. Therefore, anybody that believed, he saves by that gospel.
Honey? What I know about Ruckman and his followers is they just can't seem to exclude Peter from their gospel. That's the main Peter. They have to keep him in there and they'll do whatever it takes to keep him in there. That's what they want to
say. That's right.
That's it. They've got to do that, though, to retain that Acts 2 principle. That's the guy in the barbershop that day, I asked him he said he was a third-year student over there, and I said, well, after a lot of conversation, I said, please tell us, how did you get saved? That poor fellow said he repented and was baptized for remission of his sins.
So he did.
I couldn't believe that. I thought, I'm not hearing this guy after 3 years. What is Ruckman doing that guy would be saying this after 3 years over there?
Is that what he teaches over there?
No. But what he does teach would probably cause an individual to... In other words, he puts so much emphasis on this back here, and like the man that told Donnie that if he got lost, he'd have to get baptized again. Well, something to the fact, could you get lost, I believe, right, Donna? And then he said, well, if he did, he'd have to get baptized again. Well, that's ridiculous. Come on, folks. Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from something, from Christ, unto another gospel. And then he says, which is not another. Go back to Galatians now. Ruckman, in his book on Galatians, makes fun of this verse. But though we are an angel from heaven, I'm sorry, let's go back to verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And the word another is heteros. It's a different heteros, different gospel. Verse 7. Which is not another, and that word there is like that, and it's really the same. Not the same. In other words, they're saying it's the same, but it isn't. Verse 7, which is not another, but there'd be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, you know what a pervert is. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other, there it is, different gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. All right. Then Paul was given the gospel of Christ when the Lord appeared, Acts chapter 9. He was given a dispensation of the gospel. Turn, please, to Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom. More than one judgment in the passage. There is a judgment seat of Christ for those that are in the church with the body of Christ, and there's a judgment of the nations and whatever at his appearing, at his kingdom. Notice in chapter 4, verse 6, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, you see, there's a controversy with me here. I'm talking about with some other people. So if it's a controversy with you, that's all right. It won't be the first time that there's been an argument about the passage. You see, I say that the appearing of verse 8 is this one right here. Others say, no, it's this appearing over here. But listen to me now. It doesn't matter whether you love this appearing right here. If you are saved by the gospel of Christ, saved by the grace of God, you're going here whether you love it or not. But it matters about this one back here. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing, that's what this one over here, until the appearing of Jesus Christ, And on. Verse 15, which in his times, he didn't say at that time, which in his times he shall show, who's the blessed and omnipotentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, and so forth and so on down the line. So there is an appearing when the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul. There is an appearing when the church goes up. Between those two appearings is a dispensation. It's the dispensation of the gospel. Therefore, the dispensation of the gospel must come to an end. Let me show you why. Take 1 Timothy chapter 2 in one hand. Take 2 Thessalonians in the other. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Is it God's will that all men be saved? God would have all men to be saved. Now go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A reference to the wicked being revealed in verse 8. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, there ain't no need for you to argue with me about it. There ain't no need to try to show me that God is sending people a strong delusion today when He would have all men to be saved. I mean, that's ridiculous. That is nonsense. There is no possible way that God Almighty would have all men to be saved today while at the same time He's mad at them and He's angry with them and He's given them a strong delusion so they'd be damned because they hadn't received the love of the truth that they might be saved. God would have all men to be saved come to the knowledge of truth. Therefore, there's a dividing line somewhere, folks. It's got to be. There's a dividing line where the dispensation of the grace of God ends and the dispensation of judgment begins. And I say that's the rapture of the church. It's a completion. It's a filling up. Now, go back to Galatians. Notice in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, probably 17 years after his salvation. I don't know and I wouldn't argue about it. But if he spent 3 years in Arabia or and then this is 14 years after that, then it would be 17 years after he was saved. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. On and on and on. Now, verse 7. But contrariwise, in other words, I wouldn't agree with things they tried to force me into there. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now, anybody that says there isn't two gospels in there can't read, and if they can read, then they can't count. Peter was given one, and Paul was given another. And notice something else about that. Verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to what?
The circumcision.
Was Paul given a ministry for apostleship to you?
No.
Are you apostles? Come on, folks, those that believe that Peter is preaching to the church, which is the body of Christ back here, is making apostles. Don't you understand that? And so they argue against that apostleship of those denominations that believe that, while they themselves say Peter preached the same gospel Paul preached. If you refuse to rightly divide the word of truth, if you refuse to accept the scripture at face value, one way or another, it'll catch up to you. We're not making apostles. We're preaching, and those who get saved become ambassadors, not apostles. Now, it's very important, the next verse. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Well then, there is no ifs, ands about it. They made a definite decision, and Paul's ministry brought about that decision. Paul's ministry caused Peter to stop what the Lord told him to do. And you can argue with that, but Peter just put the brakes on right then and there, and there's no record that he ever again did what the Lord told him. Turn back to Matthew. Take three passages. Take Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 18, and Matthew 28. Matthew 16, Matthew 18, and Matthew 28. In Matthew 16, verse 18, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, your testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word prevail is two words. One is able and the other is against. It won't be able against it. It won't be of strength against it. It cannot overcome or have the victory and so forth. And here's the point. Jesus Christ said, I've got the keys to hell and death. Jesus Christ died and went down into the lower parts of the earth and came out. He assured them that you need not to worry about it. They're going to cut your head off. You're going to be martyred for my name's sake. And you don't need to worry because I've got the keys and rule out and down there. The gates of hell can't stop me opening the doors and letting you out. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it, and on and on and on. And every church in the world that believes that that church, the body of Christ, is in Matthew 16, verse 18, even though they don't even know it, believe it, they're going to hell. Isn't that a rip? Only the Catholics. Purgatory. Verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. After Peter was endued with power from on high, whatever he bound on earth, was it bound in heaven? Absolutely. Whatever he loosed on earth was loosed in heaven. God gave him that authority. Notice in Matthew 18, verse 18, Jesus Christ talking to all the apostles, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Go to Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now go back to Galatians chapter 2. I'll guarantee you, it came to a screeching halt in Acts 15, or whenever that meeting was. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, they unto the circumcision. The Great Commission was sending them to all nations. They agreed at the time of Galatians chapter 2, they would not carry out the Great Commission ever again. They shook hands with him in an agreement that they would go only to the circumcision. And bless God, what they bound on earth was bound in heaven, whether anybody in the world believes it or not. And everybody that's been trying to carry out the Great Commission since then are spinning their wheels and probably making a mess. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which, and are not. You know, I know something by that then. I know that in the tribulation, the man of sin is going to stand in the holy place. And he said, when you see it, run. But that isn't all. I know that the gospel of the kingdom was preached to a point over here. I know at some point out here they made an agreement, and in that agreement they agreed that they, the 12, would not go to the nations anymore. Hence, when you read John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Revelation, you're not reading books that are written to the nations of this world. Bless God, they're specific. 1st John, I'd say, was written to the 144,000. I mean, there isn't anybody in Pensacola, Florida that can claim the truth of 1st John chapter 2, verse 27. In that passage said, you have an unction from the Father, and you know all things. You need not that any man teach you anything, on and on and on. There ain't nobody in the world today that's got that. Not one. But they will have over here. And it's in one accord with what Jesus Christ told them in Matthew chapter 10 and numerous other places when He sent them out. He said, don't you be afraid when you stand before them, they bring you into judgment. Don't you be afraid what you'll say. The Holy Spirit will give you in that hour what you're supposed to say. Well, the Holy Spirit won't give you anything to say unless you've studied this Word and taken it in. So I know then that the gospel they preach back here is going to be preached over here. Well then, if that be the case, go back to Galatians and look in Galatians chapter 1 again. Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, an angel brought the message of the book of Revelation to John. Though we're an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And if you want to tell me that the gospel of the kingdom is the same as the gospel of Christ and the gospel of grace of God, then I'm going to identify you immediately. I'm going to do what Paul said in Romans 16. Mark them. And I'm going to mark you right then. Bingo. Say, but I'm your brother in Christ. I'm going to do it. Hey, that's what God said. And if man preach any other gospel unto you than we preached unto you, let him be accursed. He didn't say you can curse him. He said just count that he's accursed. In other words, if he doesn't know, 2 Corinthians 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Accursed. If any man preach any other gospel to you than that which you receive, let him be accursed. The match. There ain't any way you can be saved except by the gospel. It won't work. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again. He's going to emphasize it. If any man preach any other gospel in you than you've received, let him be accursed. But folks, the importance of the gospel is unmistakable in the dispensation of the grace of God. And yet here the liberal individual are just fooling around with this thing and just kind of slobbering around and kind of walling around, and all of us are brothers, and we all believe in one God, and there's several different ways to get to Him, and all this nonsense. And that's exactly what it is. There's only one way that anybody in America is going to get to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And you can't have Jesus Christ, you're removed from Him, unless you believe the gospel that He Himself committed to the Apostle Paul. It is His gospel, and He gave it to the Apostle Paul, just like He had something given Him of the Father, Revelation 1, and He sent an angel, and the angel gave it to John. Jesus Christ gave it to Paul. Paul gave it to us. Romans through Philemon. And that'll go. As they say, you can put that in the bank. So I know something then. I don't know much. But I know there has to be a dividing point somewhere before Israel's time begins again, as in Daniel chapter 9, and people just keep on messing with that thing over there and fool around that thing over there because they've got something else to prove rather than just let Daniel 9 fit in its place. If you let it fit in its place, there's 1 week left for Israel I got it right there. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. And the time of Jacob's trouble won't come until the gospel committed unto us finishes and we're taken out of the way. Why? Because if we remain here with everything being what it is today, then there are going to be those that are blessed of God that are going to be preaching unto us something that is wrong. And if that's permitted, if God sends people today, dare you to think about it. If God Almighty sends people today to preach something unto you that is contrary to that which he gave to Paul to preach unto you, then he's a God of confusion. Is God the one that's mixing all this mess up today? Is he the one that's got all this stuff fouled up? Or is 2 Corinthians 11 right? Does Satan have his own ministers in the pulpit today? Yes. Are they preaching another gospel? Yes. Are they preaching another spirit? Yes. Are they preaching another Jesus? Yes. Is God the one that's doing it? No. But if the Lord sends messengers today with the gospel that was preached in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and sends them to preach so that they affect you, and you fall, you apostate, then God is responsible for your apostasy. No matter how you slice it.